So we're in a funny time period right now. We're not here, not there. Nishtahi, nishtaher. On one hand, we pass the bottom of the nine speeches of Ne'ila, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Kol Nidre, and we haven't yet entered into the zone of the, you know, more jovial period of Zman Simchaseinu of Sukkos. So I was thinking about, what do you do with Hazinu? What do you do right now? And in some sense, the Pasuk in Hazinu says, Zechor Yomot Olam, remember the days of yore. Right? Zechor Yomot Olam. Zechor Yomot Olam tells us that it's important for a Jew to remember the days of Olam, of humanity, of history. It's our responsibility to remember the world. Not just our own narrow Jewish history. It's our job to remember. And I thought maybe going forward we would dedicate this period between Yom Kippur and Sukkot in remembering the great ones of the world, those that we've lost, in memoriam. So this year, I want to remember three great minds, three icons. The first is Dr. Oliver Sacks. Dr. Oliver Sacks was born in London, 1933. Parents, Orthodox Jews, raised Orthodox, had a bar mitzvah, but that was the end of his real Jewish education. His mother is the first female surgeon in London. The first female surgeon in London was an Orthodox Jew, his mother. Now, he left the home at 17 due to religious differences over some choices he was beginning to make. And he embarked on a journey what would become an exceptionally successful life as an educator, a scientist, a neurologist, and psychiatrist, taught in the Albert Einstein School of Medicine. He taught in many places, many prominent, prestigious positions, numerous breakthroughs in the studies of the brain. You may know him from the movie Awakenings, which starred Robert De Niro and Robin Williams, which was about Robin Williams playing Dr. Oliver Sacks. Dr. Sacks was the one who ultimately had worked with patients who were in a static state. They couldn't emote, they couldn't express themselves. And he developed a drug that he tried on them that had some temporary success. Ultimately, all the patients relapsed and they went back, much like Flowers for Algernon, in a tragic story, which makes you wonder whether it was worth it for them to awaken for that time or not. But these types of breakthrough works were, you know, in a very unique way, put together by Dr. Sacks in the many books he has written. He had a unique ability to be able to write as a doctor, a scientist, which is usually very mechanical, but he transcended that with his poetic soul. And that comes through in the deeply personal stories that he had written. You know, he wrote something very powerful. He said, when people die, they cannot be replaced. They leave holes that cannot be filled. For it is the fate, the genetic and neural fate of every human being to be a unique individual, to find his own path, to live his own life, to die his own death. You know, facing his mortality, phrasing it like that, that's the fate of everyone. We're not here forever. That's part of the message of Sukkot. You know, Sukkot, we're told, say Mideras Keva, leave your permanent dwelling, Nichnas Lediras Arai, and enter into your temporary dwelling. What's the message? The message is that none of us are forever. We are not all here eternally. We have a finite period of time here on this earth, and we're asked to make the most of it, to do what we can in this world. Say Mideras Diras Keva, Benichnas Lediras Arai, and enter into the Diras Arai, facing your own mortality. You know, Rabbi Lam has a very, very powerful thought. He says, during Shiva, we experience the mortality of life in a depressing way. But on Sukkot, we face it in an empowering and positive way. The understanding that we're not here forever. And it's now our job to appreciate that time we do have and make the most of it. You know, in an op-ed piece he wrote for the New York Times shortly before his passing called Sabbath, he gradually had become slowly coming back to observing and practicing Judaism. And that's partially because of his dear friend, Robert John Allman. Robert Allman, of course, was the winner of the Nobel Prize for his breakthrough studies in the economics sector, game theory. And, you know, Robert Allman, by the way, got his initial ideas from his understanding of the Mishnayos in Maseches Kinim. Robert Allman gave him his first mezuzah. But ultimately, he says the following, Dr. Sacks. The observance of the Sabbath is extremely beautiful, and it's impossible without being religious. It's not even a question of improving society. It's about improving one's own quality of life. And here is the kicker. Look at how he referred to it. Look at how he speaks of the Sabbath itself. Amazing and so powerful. He says that Sabbath is in a sense. Short of breath, my once firm muscles melt away by cancer. I find my thoughts increasingly not on the supernatural or spiritual, but what it means by living a good and worthwhile life. I find my thoughts drifting to the Sabbath, the day of rest, the seventh day of the week, and perhaps the seventh day of one's life as well, when one could feel that one's work is done, and one may in good conscience rest. Wow. The Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, the seventh day of one's life as well, where you know that your work is done. Unbelievable thought. An unbelievable way to look at Shabbos that I will never forget. You look at Shabbos as eclipsing all that came before it. The Chidah says, Shabbos is the chance to take stock of the week, to look back and appreciate what you've done, what you've accomplished. Has this been a good week? Have I made the world any better? Oliver Sacks says his life now has come to a phase of the Sabbath, where you look back and you take stock. What has happened? What has become? What has become with the time you have? He has one more thought I want to share with you. He wrote a book called Musicophilia. It was his understanding of how music impacts the brain and his research in that subject. I had no room now for this fear. He had just found out he had glaucoma cancer. Or for any other fear, because I was filled to the brain with music. And when it was not literally music, there was the music of my muscle orchestra playing. The silent music of the body. Unbelievable. The music of the body. That's what we call Shiras Hazinu. This week we read, today we read Shiras Hazinu, the song. Ramban says, this is the song of our legacy. This is the song of our people. This is the song of our history. Hazinu Hashamayim V'adabera V'imreif V'i. Listen to my words. Take stock. This is my song. This is my music. Why? Because it's our history. We are Hashem's symphony. We are Hashem's music. You know, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, when discussing proofs of God, says his favorite is always the symphony of the body. How everything works so perfectly with each other. Our DNA sends messages, our brain telling our body when to move, how to move, how to feel. The amazing orchestra and symphony. We are the Shira. We are the music. And that music animates our observance. The music of the Yom Narayim, of the high holidays, of our tefillos, of our davening, of our tehillim. That's the music that he speaks about, Dr. Oliver Sacks. That's the Shira Sazinu, the song. Our history becomes a song. We sing our theology in Judaism. That's Shiras Hazinu. Let's move on now to somebody else. I wouldn't call him the greatest intellectual of our generation, but certainly an icon whose thoughts have shaped many of ours. Yogi Berra, one of the greatest catchers in baseball history, one of the greatest sportsmen in baseball history. I think he was in the World Series 10 seasons, or 14 out of 18, and won 10 times. You know, Yogi Berra, once my mother took me out of school. It was sixth grade. She pulled me out. She didn't tell me where we were going. We went to the Beverly Center, and we go up, and there we are, second floor, going into a bookstore. They used to have those things called bookstores back then. And we walk in, and there is Yogi Berra sitting at a table, literally by himself, signing books. What a pleasant man and a wonderful person to meet. He's what I would call Niva Velo Yada Ma Niva. It's a phrase from Chazal. He was a prophet without realizing how prophetic he actually was. He once said, we're lost, but we're making good time. We're lost, but we're making good time. You know, that's us when we come to tefillah. We're lost. We have no clue how and why the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put together the Siddur, the order of the tefillah, in the way they did it. There's a system, and there's an amazing symmetry. You've got to look at Rav Schwab's Sefer on tefillah, his commentary on tefillah. The psukim, you know, Art Scroll now tries to help you by putting on the bottom where each pasuk is from. Here, Meyahu 38, Yecheskel 46. What does that do for us? We don't even understand the context of those prokim. We don't know those prokim by heart. So we're sort of detached when we sit down to pray. And we ought to put in the work. By the way, the psukim that are quoted for Malchiah, Zichronos, and Shofros in Rosh Hashanah are masterful why they were chosen. You've got to go to the sugyas in Rosh Hashanah. But the average experience when we sit down with our Siddur, we don't understand what we're saying. We're lost. But you know what? We're making good time. We're here, Hashem. We're here behind the Siddur. We came to Shul. We're sitting and trying to pour out what's on our heart and our mind using the vehicle of these great words that you gave us. He once said, you can observe a lot by watching. You can observe a lot by watching. There's a powerful Svas Emes on Sukkot. By the way, the Svas Emes is always Le'ela, but when you get to the Svas Emes on Shlosh Regolim, it's Le'ela u'Le'ela. And the Svas Emes in Sukkot comments on the Gemara passage in Sukkah, where it says, Mishalo ra simchas beis ha-shoeva, lo ra simcha b'yamav. Whoever has not seen the joy and the rejoicing of the simchas beis ha-shoeva has not seen joy in his lifetime. The Sfasemis picks up on the key word, ra'a, who has not seen. We look, but we don't see. Are we really watching? Are we really paying attention? Are we really experiencing? We're listening to people talk, but we're not really paying attention. People we're married to, our children, we're not paying attention to what they're really trying to tell us. Someone gets mad at us and immediately our ego flares and we fight back. But stop, raw, listen to what they're really saying. Hear them out for real and understand what's behind the pain. What's behind the words they're sharing with you? Mishalo ra simchas beis ha-shoeva, someone who has not seen it. You'd have to see, to experience it, really take it in. Understand what someone else is telling you. You can observe a lot by watching. Yogi Berra once said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. It's a great line. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know, for all of us, that's so true. Atem nitzavim hayom, you're standing today, and God says, Nasati lifnechem hayom et achayim ve'et hamaves. I have placed before you today life and death. Ubacharta b'chayim. Choose life. You know what that means? How do we know we're not going to mess up? How do we know we're not going to blow it by our choices? There is such an easy way, such a fine line between choosing the wrong job and choosing the right one. Making the right decision for our family. How do I know I'm not going to mess it up? You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was nervous about that when he wrote his Igros Moshe. And he shares that emotion, he shares that fear, as his pen was trembling when he writes the Igros Moshe, the introduction. He says, why should I publish this? I may be messing up the halacha and I will ruin the Mesorah for years to come. You know what his answer is? Because it's not our concern. When you come to a fork in the road, you take it. You follow with Yira Shemayim. You do the best you can, and the rest is out of your hands. The rest is Siyata Deshmaya. The rest is not your concern. It's not your business to worry about the next steps. Yogi Berra once said, the future ain't what it used to be. You know, I met with a parent, and this parent told me that she had plans for her children. She could see each step, one by one by one in front of her, and none of it went according to plan. She's losing her child, going off the derech, and not realize, trying to wonder how she could have made these mistakes. She had a plan. But you can't beat yourself up over it. You know why? Because the future ain't what it used to be. In the sense that, Ezehu Ashir HaSomeach Bechelko, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, who is happy? One who is happy with his choice. What does that mean? His chelko, his chelik. God has a chelik for you. And the frustration comes sometimes when we thought our chelik was X, and life didn't plan out, didn't map out the way you thought it was. You know what? That wasn't your chelik. That was the mistake. It was never your chelik to begin with. It was never your portion to begin with. And the sooner you realize that, you could then get busy living once again. Ezehu Asher HaSomeach Bechelko. The future ain't what it used to be. Stop beating yourself up over the fact it didn't plan out the way you thought. Because what you thought was incorrect, you thought that was your future. But the beautiful thing is Yogi Berra's other quote that ties in great. It ain't over till it's over. But if you hold on, and if you have bitachon, and if you keep loving, and if you keep giving your all, you never know how it's going to play out. You can't get frustrated. It's not your chelik. It ain't what it used to be. It's not that same spot that you're in 20 years ago. It's a different reality than the one you thought. Yes, but no less powerful and important. And it ain't over till it's over. Let's move on now to Dr. Wayne Dyer. You know, of the three intellectual scholars, I don't know how you've put them all together, but the three we've spoken about tonight, Wayne Dyer, I know the best. I love his writings. He's had 21 bestsellers. He has these powerful self-help seminars. And I would say those in the self-help movement, he is the most obsessed with bringing God into people's lives. And I love the way he writes. Wayne Dyer has a book called The Erroneous Zones, amazing work, and a book, Excuses Be Gone. Awesome. He talks about how all the defeating excuses we put in front of ourselves that get in the way of us living our best life. And here are some of the common excuses that people have. For example, I can't do it. It's going to be too difficult. I can't do it. It's going to take too long. I can't do it. It's too big. It's overwhelming. Or I don't have the energy. Or I'm too busy. Those are all excuses. And we all have excuses. Wayne Dyer tells us, get these excuses out of the way and start living. You know, I got an email with a beautiful Dvar Torah from a friend of mine, Rabbi Asher Fruchter. I could say he's a person I know who truly has a photographic memory, literally. And he shared with me such a nice thought. That in the Rosh Hashanah reading, we read about Avimelech and Avram Avinu. Why do we read about Avimelech? I understand Sarah's story. She couldn't have a child. That's a Rosh Hashanah story. I understand the Akedas Yitzchak and the binding of Isaac. That's a Rosh Hashanah story. How did Avimelech factor into this? Well, you could say because we needed a requisite amount of psukim. But really, why is it there? And says Rav Asher Fruchter, you know why it's there? Because Avram stood up to him and said, this is my identity. This is who I am. This is what I stand up for. I may be going against the world. And Avram could have given up and said, God, it's too difficult. The whole world's going to hate me. No one's on board with my agenda that you have set forward for me. All these excuses Avram could have had, but he stepped up and said, this is what I believe. And Avimelech later on acknowledges and says, yeah, these are your wells. I get it. This is what you're about. This is your life. That's your covenant. Excuses be gone, and let's begin living. Wayne Dyer said something else, which I need you to hear. And it really comes to life, what Wayne Dyer said, when you hear the words of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. So let's start with what Wayne Dyer said. Most of us actually give lip service to a life of higher awareness. We don't always want to undertake the necessary steps to create the life we desire. You hear that? We give lip service to living a better life, to living higher awareness, but we don't want to take the necessary steps to live that life we desire. You heard that? Now get ready, Lahavdil, for the Sfas Emes. The Ger Rebbe writes in his introductory remarks to Hazinu, Yarov Kamatar Likhi, the Parsha says, that my teachings, they rush in like rain, they fall like dew. Ki b'chol ish Yisrael, yesh nekuda chiyus. Every single Jew has within them a point, a vitality, a life, a sense that there is invigorating within them. Rak shetzrichim la'orer ha'pnimius al yedei Torah. But they need to awaken that inner essence through the Torah itself. Tzrichim la'orer ha'pnimius al yedei Torah. Unbelievable. We all have that better life we're imagining for ourselves. It's in us. But you're not willing to do the work to bring it out. And he says, Kamoha Adama, just like the ground, Shiyeshva Koach Lahotzi Tvua Peras, that has the power, like the produce and the fruits, to give forth trees, vegetation. But you gotta put in the work. You gotta plant the seeds. You gotta water your trees. You gotta prune them. You gotta take care of them. And in that will come the most magnificent prize. That's what Torah can do for you. You envision for yourself a greater and more powerful life, but are you willing to put in the time? Are you willing to let Torah allow it to unlock your greatness, your majesty, let it to explode? Ask yourself how much learning you've been doing this year. Double it. By the way, double a zero is still zero. Triple it. Find out how much more you can do. What have you accomplished this year? What mitzvahs have you done? It's time that we opened up that Torah as the new year has begun and say, I want to live that life I've been waiting to live all these years. In the merit of these great teachings of these great minds, and in the merit and the schus of the Yom Narayim, these days of awe, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring out that great awareness, that great experience that life has in store for us. And in that merit, we will greet the Mashiach. B'mehera b'yameinu.